B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985.
Feels like weekend's coming. At
you
this
feel
point,
like a weekend's coming.
Yeah, you get 12 o'clock on Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. Yeah, weekend is coming.
Jesus, God.
Okay. Jaylen Brown last night on Twitter, it was actually yesterday afternoon, Jaylen Brown tweeted out the following. What are the long-term effects of COVID-19? Asking for a friend. That was at 4:15 p.m.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty new thing if you haven't heard about it over the last 2.5 months. Why would he put this up on Twitter? Why would you put this up on social media?
What, because it's proven a point.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
It's not actually a question, though, because that's right. Why he's putting asking for a friend.
We don't know.
It's a statement. It's not really a question.
Right.
This is Jaylen Brown yesterday on Twitter, 4:15 p.m. What are the long-term effects of COVID-19? Asking for a friend. He then let people respond with a variety of different things about the possibility, some of them linking to other stories, some of them to things doctors have said about what they believe the potential long-term, impacts could be. And about a half hour after he put up that first tweet, he put up a second tweet. And that is, there is not a clear or definite response for the physical long-term effects. And that's exactly what his point was to begin with. So over the course of a half an hour, Jaylen Brown wanted to prove a point, and that is currently it's not clear. How could it be clear? There's no data.
Right.
No one's had it for a long period of time. People have recovered, but the answer on what does it do? The damage that it has done to some people, based on the severity of their cases. What does that look like in a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years? We don't know. We have no idea. It'd be impossible to know. And so it has led people to wonder, and myself included, does Jaylen Brown want to come back and play this year? Is Jaylen Brown one of the players who's saying, I don't think this is worth it, and I don't want to do it, and I won't do it? Do you think that's a possibility? Because I read this, and I immediately thought, oh, damn, Jaylen Brown does not seem eager to want to play based on this.
I don't, because I think he's a young superstar. He's one of my favorite players on the team. I think this is him speaking for a lot of guys that, we're a little nervous about this. Like, we're nervous because we don't know. Nobody knows. You don't know the long-term effects of this yet. We can't. You just had it. Do you have underlying conditions or do you have other health issues? It has so many different effects on people. I know someone that has it, that had the loss of smell and taste, the body aches, chills. Their significant other got tested, was positive, painted the entire house, had no symptoms, was never sick. That's the craziness of this sickness.
Yeah.
Both people in the same house have it. One person's really sick, and the other one just rented a forklift and painted the house. So, I think this is Jaylen Brown putting it out there that we're a little nervous because we're going to be playing here soon, but we don't know how it's going to affect us. And he's just getting it out there, I think.
Okay, so you don't think there's any chance he acts on that?
I don't think so.
I don't think you float something like that out there unless you feel like
you know what? I might follow through on this.
Jaylen Brown knew the answer to his question. He didn't need to tweet it.
Yeah.
He had no reason to actually tweet it. He's a really smart guy, as we know. That's been covered at length. You know, sort of Jaylen Brown's, you know, level of intelligence. It's pretty high. he's a pretty smart guy. Really smart dude. And so he's got nothing but time on his hands right now. And he is feeling this way about it and is got a real concern about the long-term impact of it. And that's not about, hey, you know, could I play? Am I worried about, you know, going out and dying? I don't think that's the case for him. He's saying, what happens long-term? I don't know. Is this something we want to get? If we can avoid it in my job? I mean, I think he might act on this. I think he might not show up. He might not be game for going back and playing hoops.
Which, when I read this, the first thing I thought about was, well, we talked about it yesterday with regard to baseball. Like, what players missing from the action would prevent you from watching? If the NBA resumes and Celtics are in there, of course, is Jaylen Brown not participating going to change your mind about whether or not you watch the team?
No, I'll still watch, but I won't feel as good about them.
I won't feel now.
But it'd be him plus one, whether it be him, Marcus Smart, or he and
like if Tatum didn't play,
and Jason Tatum, if those guys don't play, like, I might not watch.
He's healthy and he could play, but he's choosing not to play. I don't know that I'm as invested in this. And right. I'm not, and if everyone else playing, but Jaylen Brown was sitting out for whatever reasons he has, you know, whether it's, you know, in answer to this question that he kind of asked in an open forum about the long term effects of COVID-19 or not. I'd be less invested in it because it's in a season where you're already wondering about the legitimacy of whoever ends up winning it all. If there's a team out there and it's your team and one of your key players isn't playing, you're like, well, I don't know. Does this even really count? Does this matter as much to me now if certain guys are not playing when they could play? It changes the dynamic of it.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. If you ask the question, would I still watch? I would still watch.
Yes.
But in terms of how you feel about it, I think you feel entirely different about their chances.
Yeah.
You feel entirely different about, you know, their chances right away. I actually think he is maybe the key to how far they go, Jaylen Brown.
More so than Tatum.
Well, I sort of look at it and say, well, Tatum is going to be Tatum. He's going to be who he is as a player. And we saw him have this breakout stretch right before everything shut down. I'm not expecting him to play every game like that. But when I look at the solid, you know, sure things, you know what you're going to get out of Kemba if he's healthy. You know what he is. You have a pretty good understanding of what Tatum is. You rely on Marcus Smart, and you know what he is. And then you say, well, what if Jaylen Brown really steps up and plays well over the course of a playoff run? Does that make the Celtics much better?
Yep.
Oh, God,
but
yeah.
But isn't he one of the more up-and-down guys out of the group?
Yeah, but doesn't, like, that hurt Gordon Hayward, though?
I don't give a crap.
Potentially. Here we go again, right? Here we go again.
I'm not banking on that guy.
To have one guy be good, you know, it hurts the other guy, and they can't find a get. And that sort of – hey, Jaylen Brown's my favorite player on the team.
And okay, so there you go.
We did this prior to the season. Like, who are you looking forward to watching this year? Who's going to be your MVP, your superstar? I said, for me, it's Brown because he's explosive. He goes to the rim. He's not just a shooter. You know, he plays his ass off. He's hard, and he plays pissed off, and I love that about him.
So what if he plays really well, so much so that he's taken away minutes from Gordon Hayward, that he's out there a lot and he's playing at a high level, playing some of the best basketball he's played.
Good, then don't play Hayward.
Right, exactly, but that also would make the Celtics a lot better. I think if you got the same, you know, the highs for Brown are pretty great. And if he's playing at that high level night in, night out over a playoff run, the Celtics are a far better team. And so if you don't have the chance to have that, that's a problem. I really do. I think that's a problem if you think the Celtics have a chance to go on a run. I don't think they're going to do it without him. And so it would seriously damage their chances. I'll still watch, but you're right. I get what you're saying on the investment part. You're sort of, when you're watching something with not expecting much, naturally you're not as into it.
Correct.
You know, you're not buying in as much. But based on those tweets, do you think Jaylen Brown may take a pass on coming back, not knowing what the long-term impact is?
I think there's a chance, yes.
Yes, I would agree. I'm starting to wonder whether or not he is going to come back once they are able to do so. 617-779-0985. We've also got to get to N'Keal Harry. We mentioned the Reggie Wayne situation earlier. That's a receiver from 5 years ago. Let's talk about the here and now. N'Keal Harry has been working hard this offseason. We'll tell you what he's been doing. Zoe will tell you if he thinks it's going to help him and make him a better player. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
N'Keal Harry, their first round pick from Arizona State a season ago. Very little production out of him. Of course, dealt with the injury and then really struggled once put into the lineup. He is now working with the footwork king in Houston, Rashad Whitfield. And one of the things Whitfield told me about Harry is he said, look, he was playing too heavy. And I don't mean weight-wise. I mean getting low, coming off his release, and coming in and out of breaks. And by playing heavy, you play slower, and then obviously you're not creating the separation that he wants. Whitfield told me, look, it's like a boxer with no footwork. He's not a very good boxer if he's going to have no footwork. Harry needs better footwork.
It's my good friend Mike Giardi.
He's in a pod.
N'Keal Harry. He's talking about N'Keal Harry and his footwork and what he needs to do, what N'Keal Harry believes he needs to do and what his trainers believe he needs to do. He apparently needs to get a little taller, Zoe. I don't mean that he needs to actually grow and be taller. I mean that he needs to play taller. Let me read this to you.
He doesn't need to Bobby Brady this thing and, like, hang from a pull-up bar and try to stretch out his spine.
Stop that.
Okay. Right. That's exactly right. He's working with a specialist, a footwork specialist. What's his first name? What is Whitfield's first name, Jim? Do you know?
Carlton Whitfield. He's a character from Secret of My Success.
I think Giardi just said it's Rashad.
Oh, okay.
Rashad Whitfield. Okay.
Not Carlton.
Right. It is. Rashad Whitfield on Twitter, @footwork_. Oh, that's Instagram. @footwork_king. The Footwork King, Rashad Whitfield. He's worked with Odell Beckham Jr., Deebo Samuel, Le'Veon Bell, and others. Now...
Good.
What?
That's good.
Yeah, good list.
Good list of guys.
Whitfield noticed right away, this is the reporting from Mike Giardi on top of what he just said, right away that Harry was playing too low, which led to an interesting conversation with Harry. And so because of that, he's playing too low, and Whitfield says that it's a science. Anybody can do a squat right now with no barbell on their back. Have a little squat and then jump. The lower they get, the heavier they get. They can't move. I'm breaking him out of that mold.
That's good then. That's good then, because you're talking about a lot of routes last year where you saw, you know, N'Keal really, you know, bent over, stretched, and you condense yourself into that space. And you just look, you're stuck in the mud.
He said that Harry told him that he had been told all his life to stay low, stay low, stay low. But the lower you get, he says, the heavier you get. Giardi writes, with the lack of separation generated by Harry this past season in mind, the receiver has been taking part in position-specific drills that are focused on movement with a purpose. Oh. There is a concentration on Harry playing higher, getting twitchier, and gaining more functional strength as opposed to weight room strength.
Right.
Quote from Whitfield. I told N'Keal, when you're playing, it's one-on-one out there. You versus the defensive back. Somebody's going to get stuck in the quicksand. If the defensive back gets on top of you, that means your feet are in quicksand. but he gets really wide. So I'm keeping him working with his base narrow and a little bit higher, just like a boxer. This is the prime example I give him, Whitfield says. You can't box with no footwork. You've got to bob and weave and move out of the way. They're nimble. They're light. They've got to get him to that because he'll get wide and he'll stomp. He'll move his feet, but it's so heavy that he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's not moving the defensive back vertical. With guys like Odell and them who are just, you see everything is really, really tight, just moving the defensive back like they're skating on the turf. And so that is what N'Keal Harry has been working on. He's been working on his footwork and getting narrower and getting himself up off the ground and playing a little higher. Zoe, what do you think?
Okay. Now, if you're ever around the kid, he's impressive. He's got great size. You look at him, you stand next to him, you say, Jesus, this is an NFL player. And he may be a linebacker. He might be a tight end. Yeah, structurally, he's huge. And I think that hurts the receiver if you're going to be – now, you could be a receiver and be a big, tall, lumbering-type receiver. What we know about N'Keal Harry, let's talk about the things we know about him. He's explosive. When he gets the ball and you find ways to get him the ball, he can make plays. He's done it, and he's proven that. I think he's good with the back shoulder catch. They need to do more of that stuff. But what he is talking about is his feet. Look at his feet in all the pictures that they were showing you on NBC Sports Boston. He's got the big tight end shoes on, and he's got this overspat tape on him. And it looks like, you brought up the boxing point, you know, when you were talking about it. He looks like his feet are a boxer's. He's all taped up and tight. You look at Danny Amendola or Julian Edelman or James White, and they have like little ballet sprinter type shoes on with cleats. And it's about them able to pick their feet up and put them down as quick as they can because those guys are more diminutive. You know, they're not N'Keal. N'Keal's 6'4". You know, when you're asking a smaller guy, he's got to win in a smaller space. Now we just want N'Keal to run the right routes and get positioning. See, he doesn't have to blow a guy off the ball or get past a guy just to not get caught in a quicksand. He just can't let a defender undercut him if he's going to run a slant route. His slant route will always look different than Julian's or James White's. See, you know, he's a big guy, and it takes a while for those guys to get going downfield. Now, if he's talking about narrowing his body, and running coaches will do this with you too, they'll study your biometrics. They'll look at you as far as, you know, your length. Look at Julio Jones. When you look at Julio Jones at the line of scrimmage, he's basically standing straight up and down, right? Edelman, he is down, almost like in a sprinter stance. All those guys are different because of the size and what those guys are expected to do. So I think he can get better with feet, with footwork. You know, you could do all the drills you want with your feet to get your feet moving and chopping them. I think he could change his shoes, and that may help him. You know, equipment changes. You know, you get a tighter, smaller shoe. It looks like he's got these big, you know, like Frankenstein shoes on. Like, he looks like he lumbers when he's out there, but he's explosive. There's something there with this kid, and they got to find it. I'm excited to see what's going to be year two for him. Like, that's something on offense that you should be looking forward to. What's he going to do this year? You know, beyond the quarterback play.
Yeah, as we said at the end of last season, every time he had the ball in his hands, he seemed to make something happen.
And it was against good teams. Kansas City, you know, he stepped up to the challenge when he was given the challenge.
I think the problem is getting the ball into his hands.
Yeah, that was difficult for them, it seemed.
And he's not slow.
When they're giving you the ball in a jet sweep, it's like, we got to do this because we can't get you open. You know?
Right. Right.
But man,
the problem is getting the ball into his hands, which is about getting off the line, and that's what he's been working on. So he's identified a problem, and he's working on it. I just think it reflects well on him anyway, regardless
yes.
of if it works out or
yeah.
not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm rooting for him. Rooting for him.
Yes. Good for him.
You know, he's got and he's a kid that has had thick skin because he's been criticized a lot here. You know, it comes with the territory when you're your number one pick and you miss half the year and you're an injured reserve. You know, fans tend to get after you a little bit.
He was criticized by his own coaches, which rarely happens here. That doesn't happen a lot.
Oh, they wrote him hard. I know that.
It happens from time to time, but they went right at him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We saw it at practice and we saw it at games. Yeah. That's for sure.
So your number two for N'Keal Harry is coming up. Coming up next, there's a requested change at the golf courses, Hardy. Tee times, tighten them up. That's the request.
Yep.
We'll get to that. Also, some leftovers from the match over the weekend, the match number two that we talked about earlier in the week. We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, partner, it's going to...
Eli would have made that one.
It's going to right. Fractionally left.
Manning.
He's not wasting any time.
Yep, for the half.
Ooh.
Unforced error.
That's a gift.
Okay.
I definitely would have made that one.
The phone number. Here on Zolak and Bertrand. That was from the match over the weekend. A couple of things from an article in the LA Times about the match. Mickelson wants to make it an annual event. If Mickelson wants to make it an annual event, number one, cool. That could turn into something good. Do you think Tiger wants to do this every year?
No. No, I mean, I think he wants to just win majors.
He says, Mickelson says here, what if Tiger and I were to team up and take on two younger players, or what if we were to team up with younger players and have it be a real high-level golf competition? I think he's just, you know, spitballing here. He's just throwing out ideas. He says, I think there's a market for that, but you have to have some personality in there too. So a guy like Justin Thomas showed how funny he is. And he would add a lot to an event like that. Maybe Phil is trying to push out Tiger.
Maybe.
Or he's looking at Tiger going, oh, man, we need something a little bit more than you. Like, come on, wake up. He says, I think you could showcase guys like Steph Curry and Michael Jordan or Tony Romo and Patrick Mahomes, who are all good golfers, elite talents, and have great personalities.
Well, now Mahomes is a three now, too? Jesus.
Is Mahomes any good? Is there any? Well, Steph Curry.
I'm sure
Romo
he is.
And Jordan are all good. If you were going to tell me that Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, or Tony Romo were golfing on Sunday, I think all those guys would probably have shown they would have been better than Brady. Is that okay to say?
I'd like fair? To mix it up even a little bit more, too. Like, throw John Daly in there with, like, open beer carts. You know, like, get these guys drinking and playing and having a good time out there. That's where you get some really good razzing.
You know, I would generally agree with that point. That doesn't sound ridiculous. There's a market for...
Like, put a beer can down next to the ball.
There's a market for really good golfers.
It, you know? Yeah.
That have personalities against other athletes that play golf and teaming them up. It doesn't have to be Phil and Tiger. I'm with you on that. If John Daly wanted to get out there and play,
yeah,
let's do it. Let's see.
Yeah, Chichi Rodriguez is fun. You know, back in the day when he'd always, you know, shoot the thing and he put the thing away. Who else? Hardy was talk smack.
Well, Lee Trevino, I think, was probably the most fun guy on the golf course that a lot of people watched. But there is something to like seeing like guys who can play, but have them up against guys who can really, really play. Like, to me, Steph Curry is an interesting one because Golf Digest does this like every couple of years. So the last one that I found was from 2018 where they give the handicaps of various athletes. You know, like, what athletes are the best golfers? Steph Curry, is like exactly scratch, a 0.0. Like he could absolutely play. When he did that, I think it was a web.com event, and got a chance to see him play. He was out there like on a sponsor exemption or something. I'm like, yeah, damn it. I thought I didn't like that guy before, and after watching him play, I know I really don't like him because he can really play. I think it'd be interesting to see Tony Romo, because Tony Romo gets these sponsor exemptions too into PGA events, and he finishes DFL, I think, in every one of them, dead effing last.
Okay,
but he can play.
Well, he's playing against pros. I mean, this is obviously a different event.
Right. So this would be,
who's the better golfer, Brady or Romo?
Oh, it's got to be Romo.
Of course,
it's Romo by a mile.
Right, and we've seen Romo on TV. He can be entertaining.
Yeah.
As was Brady on Sunday. I'm not saying Brady's not, but Brian Zurif is the guy who came up with this in the beginning and pitched it to Mickelson when they started doing it. And it was his idea to bring in Brady, but it was not his first choice. It was not his original idea. He initially had someone, I'm sorry, other than Manning
Brady
in mind.
Yeah.
He had Brady, but didn't have Manning in mind.
It's Curry.
And his quote is, at the time, I was thinking Tom Brady against Steph Curry. Because Steph had just signed a deal with Callaway and he was into golf. Manning ended up getting the nod, Zurf said, because he is represented by the same people who represent Tiger, and there was a natural rivalry with Brady there. It was perfect. So behind the scenes, I think the agents and the money people got involved and said, nah, we think we're going to go with something else. Like Brady against Steph Curry would have been good, but I think it's better when you have natural rivals in a sport that are against one another. Like Brady and Manning played against each other.
Yeah.
They were rivals, even though they're friends.
That was the draw. Right. That was the draw.
Brady versus Manning is a thing in sports. You know what I'd like to see? Like, you know, maybe not guys who play directly against one another. Is LeBron? Does LeBron golf? Do we even know?
Probably not.
I don't know these lists.
But like a Bird and Magic. Yeah.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm going for. Like, imagine if you could get, like, LeBron and Jordan out there at the same time. You know?
That
would be amazing.
The on-field or on-court rivalry, to me, doesn't matter as much. Like, how much did we really get out of Brady and Peyton both being out there? Like, how much did that add to it? I don't think it added anything to it. There really wasn't much there. I mean,
but in theory, the opportunity was there. They just didn't take it.
Okay, but it's more about the personalities. You guys who barely know each other and go out there, and it'll be entertaining as long as they're entertaining personalities. By the way, Patrick Mahomes, as of 2018, was 14 handicap. So
it's okay. That's good.
Well, that's because he's being honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Michael Jordan in 2018 was listed at a 1.9, but the article makes mention of the fact that his index had not changed in 5 years. So he's either maintaining that. It changes all the time. You know, it fluctuates back and forth.
You have a bad day.
Especially in the tenths. And, well, yeah, but, you know, there's all these, and there's like this whole new thing that they're using this year to calculate your handicap, and I won't get into it. But it should have changed. If you're posting all your rounds, your index will change, and his hasn't changed, A, because he's sandbagging, and he's better than a 1.9, or B, because he likes the idea of being essentially a 2 handicap, and he doesn't want that to change, or he's just not posting scores, and he doesn't care to have an actual legitimate established handicap anymore, which I totally understand. It just doesn't matter to some guys. They want to have one so that they can play in certain tournaments, but otherwise that they don't care what their handicap is.
Yeah. Meanwhile, what's up with the tee times, Hardy? Have you been able to get tee times locally?
I played once, and then I was trying to play again this week and even for this weekend, and I can't get a force. Now, I could, you know. Zoe, you could go play. You can make a phone call. I think we all could probably, and I'm not saying because I'm me. I'm saying anybody who plays a lot of golf has friends at golf courses, and you could make a call and go get on somewhere, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to, you know, shove someone aside who's got, a tee time set somewhere. So it's tough right now. If you want to go out and play, it's tough. It's it's very tough to get a foursome. You might be able to find a couple of open slots with someone else, but to get your own foursome out there, at least in my experience here over the last few days, every 15 minutes is putting a real chokehold on the number of players who can get out there.
So what do people want it to go down to? What is the mass golf want it to go down to?
I don't know what they're specifically asking for, but, I mean, if your course can maintain social distancing and not have people piled up at the tee box or, you know, bottlenecked at certain holes and milling around after rounds, go to whatever, you know, you normally do. If you do tee times every 10 minutes, if you do them every 8 minutes, you know, go do that. Again, you're not going to come into close contact with people once you're on the course. I think it's yeah. mostly about keeping large groups away from the pro shop, the first tee, and afterward milling around, keeping those numbers of people small.
That stinks. We'll get there, though. Like, you want people around it. You want to see guys hanging out, you know, at the bar talking, you know, having a couple beers after it or sitting around grabbing a club sandwich, you know.
I guess.
Meet your wives over there.
You just want to – look, people want to be in business. People want their businesses to work. And, you know, if retail stores, as they open up, they could do more than curbside service and do it safely, they would want to do that, too. Golf courses want to be able to put – more players on the course. And golf courses don't want to charge players $20, $25, $30 a person so that everyone takes their own cards. They know that that is going to make it cost prohibitive for some people, and they don't want to do it. They would rather have more golfers out there and people doing that. But I understand it's a slow roll. And the next logical thing for me would be for them to say, okay, everything remains in place. We're not doing bunker rakes. We're not doing ball washers. We're not doing any of the score. We're not doing any of that stuff where people are going to, you know, touch the same things. But can we go every 10, 12 minutes instead of every 15? Would that be okay? I think it would be. And I think it would open things up and it would generate some more business for these places, too.
Let's get to the smells of summer. This is something Zoe's very excited about today. We will tell you more about it. Thanks to Barstool Sports next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Wake up, lip readers. Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night.
This is obviously something you're excited to talk about, Scott. Summer
breeze. I like this song, too.
This is a segment on the smells of summer. This is a pick three. Pick three, as always, with Barstool posting this yesterday, summer smells. They've got 9 different items.
That's a summer smell. I had like 6 sausage sandwiches last night. You should have seen the smell in my room earlier. Ooh, that smells summer. Ooh. Yeah, but Barstool puts these 9 pick-ems up there. This is a pretty good one.
I don't think Barstool Sports came up with the 9 pick-ems, but this is one that they put together. All right, Jim's got a sound effect for each one. What do you guys think of that as we go through them?
Based on it's Jim picking the sound effects, and I don't know how confident I feel about it.
I'm very curious to hear what some of these sound effects are going to be because
I don't have two. Two is impossible.
Yeah, two of them will just tell you what they are. Okay. We don't have a sound effect.
I was going to say at least a few of them don't really lend themselves to sound, but I would like for him to try at least.
Give me the first one, Jim. Give me the first
one. All right. Well, number one is cutting the grass. It's a lawnmower cutting the grass.
That's a great sound effect.
Yep.
That is an amazing... Wow.
Not bad, Jim.
Nailed it.
Not bad.
The smell of grass clippings and cutting the grass is number one.
Not bad.
Okay.
You don't have to offer your opinion yet, so.
We are picking up.
I said not bad.
Once again, we are picking
up. Oh, your opinion on the sound effect.
Yeah,
I thought you said no bad, like that. You can't choose that one.
Not bad.
We are picking our three favorite summer smells.
We'll get to that once we get through all nine. Number two is grilling, which is hot dogs, burgers, sausages on the grill.
It's raining out.
That's bacon in a pan.
Yes. It's Jim's awful grilling sound.
Number three, there is no sound effect for. It is the smell of flowers. There are flowers in the photo.
I hate flowers.
You hate flowers?
No, I mean like oh, wow, look at the flowers. That's summer. No.
Number four would be the smell of the ocean and the beach.
Oh, yeah.
The beaches in the photo.
Yes. Good job, Jim.
That's a lot of birds at that. A lot of seagulls at that beach.
Yep.
Number five is the fire pit. Smell of the fire pit. You get something for that?
Not bad.
Pretty good.
Not bad.
Number six is gassing up the boat.
What?
The smell of gas. What? It's not a chainsaw. It's a boat.
That's a jet ski. It's a jet ski.
Yeah. It's a powerboat.
A powerboat.
That's all I can find.
It's a powerboat, Jim. It's not an electrical boat.
The sound of gassing up the rototiller.
A cigarette boat, though.
Churn over the garden soil.
Those are the types of boats that you see in those races where they. You know,
I love pulling up to the dock and smelling the gas. And my kid, too. My kid comes, let me smell it, too. And we put the gas in. Like, it smells so good.
What a family bonding moment. Father and son sitting there sniffing the gasoline
as they put it in.
When it comes to the boat, do you put it in 20 bucks at a time?
Oh, no. We fill that bad boy up.
Okay.
You don't want to get stuck out there. Not with those sharks.
Number seven is mulch. Big pile of mulch, mulching your yard.
Mulch smells good. I like the way the mulch smells. It smells new, that it's neat. I just think it's a pain in the ass to spread, and it stains my fingers.
I don't think mulch is a good smell.
Really?
It's got a distinct smell to it, but I wouldn't say it smells good.
Number eight is suntan lotion.
Oh, my God.
Sound effect for that, Jim.
Yeah, just like...
That's disgusting.
No, Jim. All you do is play the Beach Boys.
That's disgusting, Jim. Number nine is the smell of a swimming pool. Chlorinated water.
Okay.
Sounds like a...
There's nothing like...
I'm going to have to change my votes based on the sound effect for one of them. I really do like the smell of suntan lotion.
All right. Back. Nine smells.
No,
pick
Jim,
three.
It's not a man squeezing fudge, okay? It's not. We're not going with that one.
And it is.
Oh, my God.
Cutting the grass, grilling, flowers, the beach, the fire pit, gasoline for gassing up a boat, mulch, suntan lotion, or the pool. Which of the three, Zoe, are your favorites?
Okay, my top one, and this takes me back to going to stay in hotels with my grandparents when I was a kid, because you knew you were in the state of Florida or Myrtle Beach when you smelled suntan lotion. To me, so I'll never forget that as a kid, and it's got to be Hawaiian Tropic for me. I know we use the sunbum stuff now, you know, the one like the frog, it's like a green and yellow can. We get a lot of that, the spray stuff, but there's nothing like Hawaiian Tropic Oil. You know, you think of like the wings places, right? Meaning where you buy all your sundries and stuff, and you think of surfboards and, you know, since you've been around, help me, Rhonda. It gets you going for summer. So that's my number one. So I'm going eight. I'm going nine because there's nothing like chlorine. Nice smell in the chlorine pool outside. That means you know it's hot. There's water. You're going swimming. I'm confused what I'm going to do for my third one.
Well, I agree with two of your answers so far.
Oh, really?
I have both of those on my list. It's 4, 8, 9 for me. The beach, the pool, the suntan lotion. Those are all summer smells, man. That
beach,
is summer right there.
I was going to go either to beach or cut grass. Now, for me, as a football player, there's nothing but a better smell of fresh-cut grass in the fall, not in the early spring and summer. See, I don't need to smell it now. You smell that, like around Halloween. And you're going to remember, he's like, hey, Zoe, you're right, man. It's like Halloween's coming. Smell that fresh cut grass. And it's a cool night. That's when it hits you.
Yeah.
So I'm going beach. And it depends what beach you go to, because some could be swampy, right?
Thank
where you get
you.
That low tide.
Thank you. That's why I can't go across the board beach. There's some beaches that just, let's just put it this
stink.
Way. Some smell better than others, okay? But the smell of a grill, always good in the summertime, especially when the air is hot.
Yeah.
And you get that smell of the grill and the warm air. The two just go hand in hand.
And you get the good neighbor. The good neighbor just says, you know what? F you people that buy gas grills. I'm just going charcoal. And when you smell a guy and a man cooking on a charcoal grill.
Let me tell you.
There ain't nothing like it, man.
My normally useless neighbor across the street, again, no names, Chris, he is very, very useful when it comes to A, grilling, because he does it the right way, uses the charcoal, and B, he's always handing off a few extra things he picked up at his favorite butcher. He's like, oh, you got to try these steak tips, and he'll share them. So that's awesome.
How's his grass looking? Again, no names.
Got a brand new service. Oh, my God. They came over there. They spent hours. They were there for 2 days. Did a full cleanup. They did the beds. They did everything. It's fantastic. But, no, I'm not going fresh cut grass. You can cut that off, Jim.
I mean, I only say that because I've been there when I've seen that neighbor's grass. And I'm like, what's with your neighbor's grass? How come they don't cut it?
So then I went 4-8-9, right?
Okay,
I went 4-8-9.
I am going.
So that's not you, Talent. So just so Chris knows, that's me, my own personal viewing of his grass.
Yes, I'm going 2 for the grill. I am going 8 for the suntan lotion. Just
rub that on my back.
And I'm going 9 for the chlorine. The pool.
Oh, love that
chlorine smell. Oh, my God.
Summertime. That is summertime right there, kids.
The best. 2-8-9. Same as T-Bones. T-Bone and I are both at, we're in the 2-8-9 club.
See, you kind of can't see it because like, yesterday we were in the pool and it was hot. It was like 91. My wife gets really mad because what I do is I reach in the skimmer buckets and I get them big chlorine tablets, those big 3 inches, and I rub them on the top here of the hair so I can get some streaks, just a little light streaks of hair. You know, summertime, man.
I 100% believe you. I mean, I've seen
you. Rub the pool chemicals on your head.
Rub. I just take the stick and I just kind of like draw. Come pull them back so I could get a couple. You sit in the sun for a half hour and you get a little couple streaks. Just like a.
Are you out of your mind?
What? I swim with them.
No, you don't. You put them in the bucket. You don't swim with them.
When you directly apply it to your skin.
I don't do it on the skin. Do it on the hair.
Yeah, okay. Idiot.
Yeah, there's people. There's stupid girls in high school put peroxide in their hair.
It's not rubbing it on his skin. He's rubbing it on his scalp, idiot.
Yeah.
No, you're right. The guy who rubs the pool chemicals on his head has made me look like an idiot.
Yes. Yep. Owned.
Zing.
All right. Smells of summer. Give us your 3. 617-779-0985. Here's Hardy with headlines. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.